Mr. Greco.
Yes, good morning. May it please the Court, Your Honors. Michael Greco on behalf of the plaintiffs' appellants, Reason Lee, James Washington, and Michael Moore. This is a case arising from a Title VII claim. We submit that the sum total of the arguments raised by the defendants, as well as that put forth in our appellant's brief, justify application of equitable tolling in this case on the basis of Judge Castillo's exercise of jurisdiction into May of 2009, granting leave to the plaintiffs to file the separate Title VII claims, which were then filed on May 15, 2009, in the case of Officer Michael Moore, and May 29, 2009, in the case of Reason Lee and James Washington. The court at that time entered those orders and the orders of April 1, 2009 and February 17, 2009, granting leave to the plaintiffs to essentially extending the time for the plaintiffs to file their separate lawsuits under Title VII. Even though with the appellees' counsel present, the appellees have been represented at all times in this matter by counsel ever since September 18, 2008, the first order of Judge Castillo in the 08C2779 case. So we submit that equitable tolling is certainly appropriate in this case where the leave is granted by Judge Castillo in that case in May 2009 specifically to Officers Moore, Lee, and Washington to file their separate lawsuits, and those lawsuits are filed within 2 days and 3 days and within the parameters of leave granted at that time. The we submit also that it is a case where the argument of statute of limitations was waived by the defendants in that they did not raise it in the 08C2779 case before Judge Castillo at any time. They did not raise it in the original complaint filed, the original complaints filed before Judge St. Eve and before Judge Kendall in the 2009 cases. They waited until the amended complaints were filed, even though they had the right to sue letters on which these cases are prefixed.
But you were very undiligent. I mean, the judge gave you, a deadline for filing these separate lawsuits, October 28, 2008, and you didn't comply.
Judge, I acknowledge that there was no compliance with that date.
Well, you know, equitable tolling is supposed to be taken seriously. You have to be diligent. Otherwise, you're stuck with the statute of limitations.
That's understood, Your Honor. However, we then proceeded before Judge Castillo to rectify it. Judge Castillo heard our arguments as to that, heard the defendant's appellee's arguments as to that. Judge Castillo saw fit to grant an additional extension of time at that time. Equitable tolling would have been appropriate up to the time that he denies leave to amend the complaints, I submit.
But you didn't ask for an extension of time before October 28th, did you?
No,
you just
Your
didn't
Honor.
File.
That's correct, Your Honor. There were a number of plaintiffs that were involved in the original
lawsuit.
Well,
all you had to do was ask for an extension of time.
That's true.
So and, you just ignore it, and then 3 months later, you wake up.
Well, no, it's not a matter of ignoring it, Your Honor. These are arguments that this is a scenario
that
was presented.
No, I mean you ignored the deadline by not the October 28th deadline by not asking for an extension of time.
This is an argument that certainly Judge Castillo, or a scenario with which Judge Castillo would have been faced, Your Honor. And I put forth the reasons for it at that time. I put forth my case as to my diligence in prosecuting the claims. And the appellees certainly had an opportunity at that point to raise their objections and make perhaps exactly the observations that Your Honor is making. Additionally, I submit that waiver is appropriate in this case. I acknowledge that the Massey versus Hellman case goes the different direction That's with regard to a Prisoner Rights Act claim where the administrative remedies were, or the predicate remedies were a little bit more vague. It was such remedies as are available to the prisoner. The defendants in that case were able to raise affirmative defenses of statute of limitations at the third and fourth amended complaints. I submit that that is not a rule that should be applied in this case. Specifically, the rationale by this court for that ruling as to waiver was to hold to the contrary would, in essence, enable plaintiffs to change their theory of the case while simultaneously locking defendants into their original proceeding. That was the basis on which Your Honors, and this court in Massey held that filing an amended complaint just reopens the complete panorama of affirmative defenses to the defendant. I submit that in that case, they were dealing with a specific set of circumstances. With regard to a Title VII claim, there are legions of cases that unequivocally establish that the rights accorded to the plaintiff are prefixed on the administrative remedies from the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and any state agency. So I don't believe that that rationale applies in this case to allow the defendants to have a continually ambulating opportunity to raise additional affirmative defenses without regard to the time period, without regard to previous complaints and to previous opportunities to file affirmative defenses under 8A, I believe, allows them too much strategic latitude and defeats the purpose of the justice so requires, the requirement that affirmative defenses be brought forth as they are apprised of by the defendants. So for those reasons, I submit that the appeal should be sustained at the orders of the trial court reversed. I'll reserve time for rebuttal if there are no questions.
Certainly, Mr. Greco.
Good morning. Andrew Creighton on behalf of the appellees in the case. Your Honors, I just point out, too, that on the facts of this particular case, not only was there nothing done in that first 28 days after Judge Castile's order in September of 2008, nothing was done at all until January of 2009 when Judge Castile dismissed the underlying case with prejudice for want of prosecution. And it's at that time, these 4 months plus months later, that the plaintiff in the case finally woke up as to what was going on here. The law was well established back of equitable tolling, and the Elmore case was in existence back at the time of the original dismissal. And it was an incumbent at that time of them to act timely in some manner to preserve the rights. They could have asked for example, they could have done another thing. They could have asked for Judge Castile to change his order to sever instead of just dismiss. They could have filed the cases promptly. They could have filed an appeal of the dismissal order. All of those things, none of that was done. Nothing's done until Judge Castile dismisses the case with want of prosecution. We submit that this is the filing. These were three new cases that are filed, and the defendants have the right to present any affirmative defenses to those cases that are brand new litigation. There's nothing that occurred in the Ammons case with Judge Castile's different orders that are issue preclusion that present issues of res judicata or collateral estoppel that would prevent issues in favor of the plaintiff, that would prevent the issues from being raised in subsequent litigations. On that basis, there's simply no excuse here for the delay that was involved with the resulting kind of prejudice that the 90-day rule in the section involved with the under the title is there for a purpose, and that's so that the investigations can be made, the damages can be limited in regards to the employer. As time goes by, witnesses disappear, documents get misplaced. There's a reason for that 90-day, and it was totally ignored in that case. And this is the appropriate case in regards where there is no evidence of equitable tolling at all. There's just one delay after another. Even after the case is reinstated by Judge Castile, there's various motions to extend the time back out with real no explanation in the record. So the facts of the delay in this case are just egregious, and there's really no basis for the equitable tolling. Now, on that basis, I would ask you to affirm the judgment of the district courts in all three cases in their totality. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer those. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Creighton. Anything further, Mr. Greco?
Just briefly, Your Honors. Counsel makes the point that there was a dismissal in January 20th of 2009 by Judge Castillo in that OHC-2779 prior case. Of course, that dismissal was vacated on February 17th, 2009, and the court at that time granted leave to file the amended complaints, and he did so again in April and in May of 2009. So we submit that reliance on those orders of Judge Castillo was
well, your opponent, Mr. Creighton, said that you kept filing motions for further extensions after that?
I filed the amended complaints with the groupings of plaintiffs, as had been the original contemplation of Judge Castillo in the
Did you file further motions for extensions of time after February 9th or whenever it was?
Yes, Your Honor, that's correct, yes. There were a number of plaintiffs that I was dealing with, and I had to make sure that all of them were.
Did you end up with?
I ended up with these three. There is one more, Lee Ammons, and a couple of others are. There were five, actually. The original 12. But
the original five?
Original 12 and ultimately five, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes, that's correct. Counsel could have raised every one of the defendants could have raised every one of the arguments that they raised this morning at any of those junctures, of course, before Judge Castillo. Additionally, with regard to the waiver argument, they did not immediately file affirmative defenses and motions to dismiss under Rule 12b-6 in the cases before Judge St. Eve and Judge Kendall. They waited until amended complaints were filed in those cases. They argue that because the right to sue letters hadn't been attached to the original complaints, that they didn't know what their defense was going to be. I'd submit that that is not a persuasive argument, where they receive the right to sue letters just as soon as the plaintiffs do, and they have ample notice based upon the allegations of the complaints and the records that they have before them to raise the affirmative defense of statute of limitations and any other affirmative defenses they have as of the original complaints. And they did not do that in this case. They waited until the amended complaints were filed before making any of these arguments. They never cited the Elmore versus Henderson case or any statute of limitations case prior to January of 2009 when they made those arguments in these cases with regard to the amended complaints filed before Judge St. Eve and Judge Kendall. If there are no further questions, I'll thank Your Honors.
Mr. Greco, case taken under advisement.